Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our friend. Amen. So I have recently come from the bedside of my friend, C, just call him. I've been praying for him every Sunday for weeks. He is dying. Now, whether the dying can be stopped and reversed at this point is a long shot. I mean, it's a Hail Mary. This has been a hard-fought fight, stretched out over years, and now coming to its eventual and inevitable conclusion. Inevitable for all of us, but we don't know when. He is being kept alive by machines and prayers and determination, sheer will, while his family searches for a miracle and for a doctor who is willing to take a medically unsound but generous risk that probably won't work. If you've been with someone as they died, then you know what it is like in a hospital, mouth open, ragged breathing, body thin from lack of nourishment, in and out of consciousness in those last days. That's why, although it is a terrible shock when someone dies in their sleep or just keels over from a heart attack, after we express our shock and our grief, someone will quietly say, "It was a blessing to go like that." Chris is not going like that. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word, the Logos, similar to the wisdom character of the Hebrew Scriptures that we read this morning, the second person of the Trinity, the Christ, the Word became flesh, human, subject to vulnerability and to joy and love and pain and then death, and after that, the resurrection, in which we too share hope. That the Word became flesh and lived among us is the Christmas message. The Word became flesh and lived among us. That's the Christmas message. It's what I've been thinking about this week. To be human is to be a body, not just have a body, be a body, inseparable. Your body and my body, they are inseparable from our intellect and our emotions and our spirit. Your body, my body, this is who we are, all of it together. If you are tall, that's who you are. If you are white or black or brown, that's who you are. If you are neurodiverse, that's who you are. If you are healthy or living with long-term illness, that's who you are. None of these things encapsulate or entirely define us, no. But we have no experiences outside of our bodies. I'm 57 years old. I am white. I am female. I used to be 5'6", but now I am 5'5". That I'm straight. I have never been thin by Western measure. I have a really good brain that doesn't remember as well as it used to, to my everlasting sorrow. I have green eyes like my mother, also her hands. This is me. Everything I have ever done, heard, thought about, decided, experienced, loved, been wounded by, hoped for, has been in and through this body. Frankly, I don't thank her enough for her service. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. It's incredible. It's incredible for the limitless God to take on such limitation, because, you know, these bodies are limited. For the God who is invisible to be seen and touched and prodded and judged. It's incredible. The incarnation is not only about God's becoming human, though. It's also about where and how God became human. It was God's intention that Christ become incarnate as a baby, vulnerable and powerless, to a poor family, announced by angels who to the most marginal of workers, to a people oppressed by empire. By this, God showed that God is always, always on the side of the poor, of the oppressed, with those on the underside of history, always. That's where God arrives. But this morning, I'm reflecting on the body being flesh and what it means for us that Christ took on this form. I have a friend who has 5 children. 100 years ago, that was not unusual. Now it seems like a lot. And they are all boys. They're all boys. She's wonderful with children. I admire her greatly. I do not know how she does what she does. So one of Sarah's sons, who is on the spectrum, is utterly fascinated by bugs, salamanders, sea anemones, and the like. I don't think that he has anything against dogs and cats, but he's not drawn to the warm and furry animals. Rather, if it lives under a log in the woods or under a rock in the water, now he's interested. Sarah and her husband regularly take the entire family RV camping. So they all get in the RV and they go to a natural place. And she posts pictures of all her sons out in nature, because they all go. But this one son, in every picture, he's holding something. He's holding something. Lizards, beetles, starfish. He cradles them in his hands gently, and he looks at them intently, learning their colors and patterns and characteristics. Once, Sarah told me, just by looking intently at a beetle, he figured out whether it was male or female. He was able to figure out the difference. I don't know. That's amazing. The physical connection gives him such joy. As I said, he's on the spectrum. He's a little uncomfortable with human touch from people he doesn't know. He doesn't want a hug from the pastor. You know, he's like, this is fine. But touching these creatures, feeling their antenna and suckers and feet and scales, connecting to their life force, makes him feel connected to the whole. And of course, he is connected to the whole. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The inbreaking of God's incarnate presence in our world is not only to us in our bodies, although it is, but to the whole creation, indeed the cosmos, the body of everything. A theologian has called it the earth as God's body. The earth as God's body. The body of everything, all of it, physical, material, changeable. To be material means there's a beginning and an end. That's what it means. As the Nicene Creed says, Christ is God from God, light from light. Light from light. And this light created and suffuses the stars and the earth. To me, this indwelling of God in our human flesh and the indwelling of God who is light in the physical structure of the cosmos, they are embroidered together. They are like a sacrament in which Christ is in, with, and under the bread and the wine. And then Christ is also in, with, and under us. And we are a sacrament. I began my sermon by sharing about my friend C and his most likely death. After a good but not long enough life, right now he is so deeply his body. All his intellect, memory, passions, abilities, loves, dreams, they all reside in his body. And if they cease, if his body ceases. And yet, because Christ died and is risen, not all things end. We continue in the resurrected life after this one because Christ became flesh. See, it's in order. He became flesh and lived among us and died and then rose. We who are creatures of flesh have the same hope. On the cover of this morning's bulletin is a photo that I like very much. You can take it out and look at it for a second. It's this one. My sister took this photo on a recent morning walk, and the dog is her dog. The dog's name is Honey Bear. And I like this photo because to me it says new life. I like this photo because to me it says new year. To me it says fresh new morning. It says God from God, light from light. It says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overtake it. What will you and I, with our bodies, these bodies we have and no others, these bodies that are us, without which we are not, these bodies in whom Christ dwells, what will we do with these bodies on this fresh new morning of this fresh new year? Well, certainly there are things to resist, things that must be undone or addressed. The invasion of the sovereign nation of Venezuela, just who even has words for the insanity at this point? The starving and the decimation of the people of Gaza and the West Bank, the terrorizing of the people of Sudan by warring parties, no intervention, the loss of health care by so many people in our own country as we enter 2026 because they can't pay for it anymore. People's real bodies suffer because of this nation's action or lack of action, and we as Christians put our bodies on the line to resist and also to help with the repair, to rebuild. And in the new year, we turn our attention to our own bodies. New year is a time when people consider how to adopt new habits, whether it be more time with friends or exercise or less stress or a healthier diet. I think new year is a good time. It's a good time to do that, to reflect, and to undertake some of those changes if we are so inclined. And so about that, let me say that making some healthy changes and sticking to them, the caveat is important, sticking to them, would probably make us feel better and live longer and maybe be easier to live with. At the same time, nothing you do or do not do will make you more worthy of love than you are right now. You are worthy of love right now, exactly as you are. You and your body are of infinite worth in God's eyes. And although we, as a family, as the body of Christ, often fail to achieve infinite regard for one another, we have great regard for you, for one another, you and your body. In the year 1530, in Germany, Martin Luther wrote a letter to his friend Jerome Weller, who was struggling with spiritual despair, probably some depression, but they didn't really have that word at the time, or it wasn't used much. Luther's advice to his friend Jerome, who was struggling with spiritual despair, might be for all of us as we enter this new year. Luther wrote to Jerome, "Be strong and of good courage, and by all means throw aside monstrous thoughts. When those thoughts come, throw them aside. Whenever the devil vexes you," because for Luther those thoughts were coming from the devil who's out to get us, each and every one, "when the devil vexes you, seek the company of others. Drink more." "Joke, make nonsense, engage in some other form of merriment. Sometimes, he continues, one must drink more, joke, make nonsense, and even commit some sin in defiance and contempt of the devil in order to not give the devil an opportunity to make us scrupulous about trifles. I can tell you more about what he means after the service, but specifically, Luther is saying to resist the temptation to be scrupulous, to look inward with a scrupulous eye, that is, to be so self-critical and self-doubting that we despair, or in contemporary language, become depressed. Despair is a good word, too. When that self-negativity beckons, when the devil beckons, run from the devil and seek the company of other humans. We are humans. We are bodies. We need the company of other bodies. Engage in forms of merriment. And Luther is joking, but he's also not joking when he says to commit a sin if you have to in order to resist the greater harm that the devil would do to you. Life is short. These are the bodies we have been given. These poor and weak and vulnerable sacks of skin filled with water, some bones, with a beginning and an end, and yet glorified because the Word became flesh, became one of us. These are us. This is our time. Our bodies are good. They are light from light, and they will be light again. So go out and watch some beetles. Pick them up. They're amazing. You'd be astonished. Exercise. Eat and drink. Make nonsense. Some other form of merriment. And give thanks. Because we will face an end, but never alone. And hopefully not today. The Word became flesh. Blessed is this flesh. Amen.